Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hey there, welcome to Fightful Pro Wrestling. We are here for the WWE Monday Night Raw post show, July 3rd. Happy 4th of July weekend, technically. And it's so weird for me to do the intro, by the way, when Sean, you're literally right here. But we're also joined by Phil Lindsay. And if you're wondering what's going on, well, Sean, you just came in from London and technically you weren't even supposed to be on the stream, but yet here you are. So let's get to it, man. How was London?
I thought I was going to make it for this full show. And then about a day in last week, I was like, oh no, I need to ask Phil if he can do it. I was like, there's no way I could do it. And I skimmed Raw, but thank you to Phil for stepping in. Greatly appreciate it. I'm not doing the ad read tonight either, Denise. You got to cue that up on the video side of things, but London.
No, you know we're going to make you do a whole ad read right now, just like off the top of your head. Yeah, on the spot, exactly.
Phil was giving me some good advice about London. He didn't tell me how terribly everybody walks over there. Oh, my God. Nobody pays attention to where they're going over there. This is them all the time.
Oh, I see.
Oh, my God. It was horrible. The walking was horrible.
Did you love it? Did you hate it? How was London?
Yeah, it was all right. It was okay. I got to see a really, really fun show. I mean, SmackDown was all right, too. But that Money in the Bank, like, man, just stuff just kept happening on that show. Like, one thing after another. It was like a big moment, a big return, a big moment, a big return. And then Roman Reigns getting pinned. I mean, Jesus Christ. I think that clip's done over 2 million views on our Facebook right now. Wow. Like insane. Not to mention all the dog shit Facebook accounts that have stolen our videos and just reposted it without credit. Not to mention those, but I mean,
Facebook
that was
Wild Wild West, man.
Oh, when the rate limit gate happened this past weekend, I had a little extra time to check out Facebook. Y'all just steal all the time over there on Facebook. I'm coming for him, though. I'm coming for him. I can't wait. But go ahead. Sorry.
Look at it. Stealing. One more
stealing.
Time. Stealing.
Stealing. They're just stealing all the time.
Stealing.
How do you expect Denise to get a gold-plated Vespa scooter if you just keep stealing our stuff, guys? Denise has been begging me for weeks. She's like, I want a gold scooter. I want a gold scooter. Fightful needs to pay me enough. to get a gold scooter. She wants to scoot all around LA. And who am I to deny her that?
Sean, I'm going to stop you right there. I don't even know what you're talking about anymore.
It's okay. Don't play
coy. I think you're just like you're not functioning properly. You're not on the right time zone. You're out here talking about gold scooters.
So let me tell you about that. I had to wake up early 2 days this week. I did Wrestle Talk and then I did WWE Media. I'll tell you what wasn't fun. Doing WWE Media at what was like 3:30 Eastern time, I was like, damn, okay. But other than that, I just stayed on Eastern time. So I'm good right now. I just started to stay up to like 5 a.m. British time because I was like, why should I even get on the right time? Why do I need to be up early over here?
So I have a couple questions. The first one is, how different was it being in the media room in London than it is like here in the States?
It was smaller, a little more cramped, less time. Like, you know, we usually get 5 to 7 minutes. It was like 2 minutes, maybe. Yeah, it was not a lot of time, but I got good headlines out of 4 or 5 people. So that should be some good stuff that we have coming up. By the way, guys, I don't think we're going to run one of those interviews this week because we got Phil Lindsay interviewing Athena this week. And let me tell you, he got more than 2 minutes with Athena. So you're going to have some good stuff dropping on
great
that.
Interview, probably, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really excited. I get to check that out tomorrow, and we'll probably run it Thursday or Friday, depending on our video schedule. But we're doing a lot more short form content now. So I was like, 2 minutes, whatever. Just get them on camera with me. We'll be all right. Asked Shayna Baszler about how she was pitched the bite angle. We had Bayley talking about being left off WrestleMania. That was very interesting. Mm. Pretty Deadly are just fun. Denise, I can't wait for you to interview Pretty Deadly in person.
How was it interviewing Pretty Deadly?
They're great. They're really, really good.
They should have had wear a crop top. You should have asked them, how do I turn this ordinary shirt into a crop top?
I did. It happened. Definitely happened. There were definitely a lot more dudes than women. As Triple H pointed out at the press conference, he's like, do we have literally any women here? My wife was one of like 2 or 3 women in the press room.
That's awesome. But it's funny because I'm like, they kind of always are like that. Do you have any idea how many press rooms I've been in there where there's like maybe one other girl besides me all the dang time? Yeah. This ain't nothing new.
Yeah, that's also true. I want to say good on Triple H for stepping up and having a woman answer a question. But the media there was good. I went to Wrestle Talk Studios. I filmed some stuff with them. Did Quizzlemania. It was smothering in that room. But filmed a couple other things. We went out to dinner. Denise, have you met the Wrestle Talk guys in person?
No, I haven't. Only Tempest.
Tempest is great.
Yeah,
he's
is.
The only one.
They're taller than you would think.
Taller than you?
Maybe by like a giraffe. Half inch. I'm not like a giraffe.
You're like a Kentuckian giraffe.
A Kentuckian? I'm like 6'1".
What the fuck is a Kentuckian giraffe?
It's Sean. A Kentuckian giraffe is Sean Ross Sapp.
It's because I got tall, skinny legs. No, like
when
maybe.
I first met you, I was like, damn, he's got a long-ass neck. Phil, did you not think this the second you met Sean? When I first met you, Sean, I was like, damn, he has a long-ass neck.
I'm trying.
It was literally the first thing I noticed about you.
I've got long, skinny legs, but I'm only like 6'1 with
like
shoes.
You're like a pencil.
Yeah, so being in that media room, I now have to ask you the question, Sean. Do you think Damian Priest versus Bad Bunny was match of the year?
Oh, hell no. Why did you say that? Like, listen.
Wait, what did I miss? What did I miss? What's the inside joke? There's an inside joke.
Shout out to Steve Fall, but that was not match of the year.
It was not match of the year. It was a great moment. It was an amazing moment, but that was not match of the year.
Okay, there were.
He said it twice, and I was like, what?
Man.
You got to look at the clip of Steve Fall asking Damian Priest a question.
And Damian buried him, too.
What did he just say?
He tried to come back afterwards and go, match of the year, bro. It was match of the year. And I was like, I don't think it was match of the year. But, you know, you got it.
It wasn't at all. The WrestleTalk guys are a little taller than me. Like, by like half an inch. So that was shocking. Yeah, not match of the year. You know, I'm happy that the presser was a little shorter, but I'm like, damn, we got like three or four questions in, and that was it. And I could tell they wanted EO to get that last question too, because nobody asked her much of anything. But that was that of all the moments that night, man, there were some really underrated ones on the women's side of things. Like that ladder match finish is one of the coolest finishes I've ever seen in wrestling.
Yeah.
And there were so many surprises on this show. Roman getting pinned, Drew coming back, Cena coming back. Cena and Drew's were protected heavily. Drew's I had a little bit of a hint of because everybody there got suspiciously quiet. Like none of them were talking. And I was like, this isn't like all these people to just not talk about anything. But the thing that I thought got like a really, really unique reaction was Rhonda and Shayna. Because nobody expected that to happen. No. That got such a like, what? On this show? This is happening here? I didn't see that coming at all. Like, and it felt like nobody did. That was, that made an otherwise unspectacular match be like, holy shit, this really just went down. So good on them for that. And good on Rhea Ripley and Natalya for beating the brakes off of each other. Rhea and Natalya beat the sequins off of one another tonight. That's the thing that I took most from this episode of Raw, which I skimmed through, but I'm sure I'll have some sort of review up this week on FightfulSelect.com.
Sean, I got two more London questions for you. The other one is, what'd you think of the food?
It was unspectacular. Now, there are some things I like. Their sodas and their portion sizes are better sized. Like when you get a drink there, like a water or a soda, the cap stays on, like it's attached. So that's good for recycling. I love that. So living in the South, I didn't realize how much salt is on everything here.
And
until
sugar.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, obviously tea here is going to be different. The tea that they have there is, I enjoyed it. Sully made me a cup of tea. I really
enjoyed it.
It
doesn't sound like very high praise.
No, I liked it. But I mean, here, if anybody who's drank purple drink understands what I mean, tea is brown drink here. That's what it is. It's not from a leaf. It's brown drink. That's it. Like, and that's how I like it. Southern sweet tea. The food. So I even like tried a McDonald's burger over there just to see how.
Wait, did you try the KFC too? By the way, because I saw that there was a KFC.
You didn't go to Quick. The Quick's everywhere. It's like they're McDonald's almost.
I didn't. I did go to Nando's though. I liked Nando's. We had like a little pizza over there. That was a little bit different. The one that we had, it was on like a boat across from our hotel. But I was trying to find some shepherd's pie. I didn't find any shepherd's pie. I did try fish and chips. It was wonderful. And I'm not like a fried fish guy. And now I am. Because, damn, that was good.
Yeah. It was good, but bland. So bland.
Yeah. Oh, I had to put ketchup on it, for sure. As Dominic says.
Wow, that's breaking news. Sean putting sauce on something? I can't believe it. It's breaking
what do you
news
think
right
I,
there.
What do you think I ate at the airport today, Denise?
I don't know. What'd you eat? Subway? I don't know.
I wish. I'm going to get some Subway tomorrow.
I don't like
I miss Subway.
I'm done with Subway. Ever since they did the whole fake bread thing, I'm done with it.
Fake bread?
Y'all saw that, right? The fake bread thing?
No.
The Gym Mat thing that was going around?
I don't know, but there was like a thing for a while that supposedly Subway was giving like fake bread. No one saw this. I saw this. All over Twitter. It was fake bread. And then there was something else that was fake. I forgot what it was.
Man,
your TikTok
algorithm is all messed up.
No,
like
dude,
that.
This was on Twitter.
Well, nobody
on Twitter.
Nobody saw anything on Twitter the last 3 days. So,
okay. Well, anyways, I had one more question for you about London. And that was the thing that everybody was talking about, clearly, on top of all the wrestling stuff, was the crowd. The crowd in London was super cool. They had all these cool chants. What was it like being there with them chanting all these things that I'm sure you were like trying to fit in?
No, I wasn't. I was doing my job, getting the reels and the TikToks and the footage for that, all that stuff. But The chants were cool. Early AEW had some really, really, really great crowds that I wish, you know, I wish it was kind of back to that era. But this one surpassed that just a bit for me because of the chants and because it made me realize, like, I say that MJF wrestles like a guy on WCW Saturday Night from 91 to 93, and that's a compliment. Like, I really, really love that. Roman Reigns takes a house show style and puts it on TV, and it works really, really well. Like, there are so many wrestlers that do not play to the crowd actively during their television matches because they've been discouraged from doing it for so long. And he's like, nope, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go against the chant. I'm going to work right towards this camera. I'm going to talk to the camera. It's really, really cool to see how he does that. But the chants were really cool, except for them trying to start the wave before the show. Stop doing that. Don't do it. Stop doing the wave.
Yeah, I do hate the wave, by the way. But you know what I do love, though? And I know people are going to hate me for this. The beach ball. I like Denise. When they bring out the beach ball. It's funny. It's funny because the same thing always happens. A couple people get to hit the beach ball, and then the security guard gets it, takes it away, and then everybody boos the security guard.
No.
It's the same thing that always happens. Always.
The only time I was legitimately happy to see a beach ball was during the Anarchy at the Arena match at Double or Nothing this year. And when I saw it pop up, I was like, beach balls are back, baby. It's a party.
Yes, it felt like everything was just going bananas. I actually loved the beach ball and the Anarchy in the Arena situation. That was a whole lot of fun. All right.
That is a fair exception, but if anybody wants to hear more of my London exploits, I did a Money in the Bank review on FightfulSelect.com. Today we had news on Drew McIntyre's contract status, as well as a rumor killer on Charlotte Flair. I think Tuesday we're going to have some news on a wrestler who's technically signed in some capacity to WWE. That'll be on FightfulSelect.com, just $5. The backstage report will be a little bit late this week because 4th of July holiday. I'll be kind of getting everything back in order on Tuesday. But, yeah, lots going on. Lots of – oh, also, I watched this Naked Attraction show in UK. So I'm going to review it on Listing.
Wait, you saw it, like, in person or on TV?
No.
You were out in that district of London?
No, I wish. That'd be cool. But no, we went for a bike ride and came back, and the TV was on Channel 4, and those in the UK will know exactly what I'm talking about. And there's just a giant uncircumcised dick on the screen.
So it's like porn on TV?
Yeah. Sort of. It's a dating show where they eliminate people based on their bottom half, their top half, then their face.
Wait, so they rate their, like, accessories?
Yeah!
Wait, but do they blur it like a Naked and Afraid when they do here, when they blur the butts? They don't blur the body parts.
No!
What are y'all on out there in the UK, man? What is this?
And all I tweeted was, what is this dong and clam show on in the UK? And there were like 50 replies. He discovered Naked Attraction. Attraction.
Let me ask you, is it better, Sean? Is it better than what we get here? Would you prefer the unblurred parts?
So, Denise, you and I have both admitted lately that we are Naked and Afraid watchers, right?
Oh, okay. I was about to say, what?
After seeing this, I am very glad they blur it on that show.
Thank you, because even the butts are gross. I don't want to see the butts.
At this point, I'm like, let these people wear some underpants. Like, underpants and Afraid is fine with me.
Wait a minute. Now that we're talking about this, we have to address this.
Okay.
Denise, how have you never heard what a Prince Albert is? I've like scoffed at this tweet this week. I was like, what?
Oh, God. Okay, here's the thing. Okay, why would I know that? Why would I know what a Prince Albert is?
Phil, just wait.
I didn't know.
Just wait until she finds out what a Lord Tensai is. She has no idea. Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Don't tell me that's like a sexual innuendo too.
It might be.
No.
Everybody in the chat, say what you think a Lord Tensai is.
Okay, but real talk. I know that boys are raised differently and things are just different for boys. I hate to say this, but why would I at that time know what a Prince Albert is? I didn't even know you could do that. And I had to ask specifically.
His whole gimmick was piercings.
Yeah, but I didn't know it meant on the you know what. Come on.
His whole gimmick
was there.
One of the guys on Naked Attraction had one. Yeah, by the
way. What's the point? That's disgusting. I'm sorry. I don't mean to judge, but damn, that's gross.
Wait until she finds out what an A-train is.
I'm done with everybody. I'm done with everybody.
I could not
right
believe
now.
This.
I'm
when I saw that tweet, I was like, how did you not know what this was? Like, what?
Oh, man. Let's hit some of these super chats that are about this. Change listing your boy to Dong and Clam Show. And Europeans are less prudish than Americans. We are going to change the name of Listen Your Boy soon because I hate that name.
No, but that is true, by the way, because I remember when I was in France, I saw that in the magazines, like they show everything, like they show, you know, the whole details, like they don't cover that stuff up where like here, if I get Vogue, everybody's covered up for the most part.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was jarring. Like, I mean, I didn't care to see that stuff. I'm an adult. I've seen that before, but it was jarring to see it on TV.
And I'm sorry. I would change. I would not watch it. I would think that I accidentally tuned into free porn. No, thanks.
It is quite literally a train wreck. Like, you can't look away. You have to. When it pops up on TV.
You can look away, Sean.
You can't. I'm telling you.
Yes, you can. You I'm sorry. You put away. A dong in someone's face, they're going to look away. How do you think I stopped watching Euphoria? They put way too many. Ugh.
Hey, there are so many dicks on HBO these days.
Thank you. Nobody wants to see that.
I agree. But listen, after decades and decades of seeing boobs frivolously shown on every show, I get it. But I feel like some of the shock value has worn off. Back in my day, you only showed that to get a whoa. I can't believe they showed that. Now it's just willy-nilly. dicks everywhere. I don't get it.
You see, I'm not a fan. Not a
this
fan.
This ain't natural.
And they haven't shown one Prince Albert on any of these.
Well, they did on Naked Attraction.
All right. Well, I don't even want to talk about no Prince Albert stuff. I'm sorry. It's disgusting. I don't want to know. All right.
I'm officially leaving. Don't forget to do the AG1 video later.
Yes, I know the rules, Sean. You're just like stepping all over my toes right now. You're like, hey, Denise, can you host the show? Yes. Okay. And now Denise, you're like, let's read this. Let's do that. Make sure to do this. I know the rules.
Would you say that I'm stepping all over your toes that are rated a 4.9 on WikiFeet?
I'm so sorry, Phil. Phil could have had a
they're
nice
rated a what?
A 4.9.
You know, are you on my WikiFeed page again?
Because we reviewed it
yeah,
on the air,
I know,
Denise.
But I haven't checked to see if the rating has changed.
Hold on, I'm gonna pull it up.
No, don't, because another
still a 4.9.
Phil here is a guest of our show. We should treat him with kindness and respect and talk about the pro wrestling.
Now there's a picture of you and Chris Van Vliet at a heels.
I hate that picture because have you ever done like, how do I explain this? Have you ever done like a video a picture where like it kind of makes the picture look weird, like distorted in a way, and it distorted the bottom part, and the bottom part is my feet. So my feet look distorted in that picture. Those are not how my feet normally look. And now that's on WikiFeet.
That's why you're sitting at 4.9 and not 5.0.
Wait a minute. So are you telling me that you hate this picture more than the fact that there's a WikiFeet that exists with your name on it?
I hate it too. And they find any picture. Any picture.
The internet is a wild place, man.
Somebody says 4.9 out of what? Out of 5. Denise has...
Oh, wait. I thought this was out of 10.
No. Denise
could have 4.9.
I thought this was out of 10.
Hold on.
I'm done with this.
This is out of 5? This is like, I thought you were throwing this out there as a bad thing. It's like, wait, this doesn't sound like it's a bad thing for her. I'm confused.
No, I mean, this is high praise, Denise.
Yeah, thanks. I just want a bunch of people with feet fetishes. And feet my God. Oh, my God.
What? You can get emailed with our new pictures.
Stop it.
Denise,
I don't get paid enough for this.
So you're saying that you're saying that it distorted your feet. It made them look a little bigger than usual. You mean kind of like.
Yeah. Phil, is this funny to you?
What is this?
It's a picture of JD McDonough.
No one laughed, Sean. I'm sorry. No one laughed.
I thought for a second that it was JD McDonough.
Man, we ain't never getting get to Raw. Okay, I feel bad that I'm not laughing with you guys.
I'm leaving.
Get out of here.
Thanks, guys.
Go back to London.
Happy birthday, Phil.
Thanks, buddy. Great having you here, Sean.
I'm so sorry, Phil, that this was the way that we started off our show. And I'm sorry to all of our audience that this was the way that we started our show. All right, let's get to it. Let's talk about Monday Night Raw. All right, let's start off with just overall, considering the fact that it was the fallout from Money in the Bank, which we talked about this weekend, myself and Reg. What did you think of the show, considering that it came off of the heels of Money in the Bank?
I thought some of it was good. I thought some of it that didn't work. But for the most part, it was an enjoyable episode of Raw.
I didn't think it was bad. Like, I'm sitting here and I've sat through like way more boring episodes of Raw. So I thought this one, for the most part, there was quite a bit that I feel gave us something to talk about. Like, we're actually going to have some things to get into here today. And there was things that I wasn't expecting to be good that ended up being good. There were some things that I thought, I don't know what they're going with this. And so I did like Raw today for what it was. And before we get into everything that went down on Raw, just a heads up to everybody, if you guys want to help support this podcast, show us some love, keep us funded, keep us going here, you're more than welcome to send in a super chat or a humper chat, and I will be reading those throughout the entire show here today. So I will be pulling them up as we go through. So let's go ahead and kick things off with the opening segment of Monday Night Raw, and we ended up getting Seth freaking Rollins. He comes out there. Reminder, he retained the World Heavyweight Championship after defeating Finn Balor. Finn Balor kind of got a little bit screwed by Damian Priest at Money in the Bank. And Seth is doing his thing, talking his talk, and he's interrupted by Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes gets one word out, and then Brock Lesnar's music hits. Brock Lesnar comes towards him. Cody goes towards him. They end up fighting. This all then ends with Cody hitting the Cody Cutter on Brock Lesnar, and this is the end of this portion of this segment. We'll talk more about it in just a second, but Phil, what did you make of just this portion here with Brock and Seth and Cody?
If nothing was clear from this episode of Raw, WWE told you in several segments, come to WWE Raw if you want to be a champion, because you are not beating that guy over there on SmackDown. That was very clear throughout this episode.
You know, I was thinking during that moment, I was like, man, is this it? They're already going to have Cody and Seth Rollins, which I don't mind. But we all knew that, you know, we're all expecting that SummerSlam match to be against Brock Lesnar. So when Brock Lesnar came out, I was like, oh, hell yeah, let's go. Let's just get it over and done with so that we know what they're doing here. But yeah. That moment, though, that brief little moment, though, I'm so glad we had it with Seth and Cody there. But even just like the actual attack and the beat down and all of that, we later on had Cody Rhodes come out and do a promo, and in this promo Cody says that he wants Brock Lesnar. For you, does it, like, we already knew we were getting the third match, does it take away from the excitement for you? Do you still care, especially given their first two matches? How'd you feel?
I mean, you've got to put Cody in something. I mean, I felt like the Dom match was a filler feud because they didn't have the match for Money in the Bank. It was very clear that they were giving us this filler match until they were back to the Brock stuff. That was the other thing that was clear about this opening segment. And then it felt very awkward because we just had Cody over the weekend in the press conference say, no, winning that belt is not finishing the story. So the second he came out, I was like, okay, he's not going to get to actually challenge him. Something's going to stop it. And then when Brock's music happened, I was like, ah, there it is.
I'm glad that they did that, though. I really am. They teased it, and they basically told us, okay, we're not done yet with all of this. All right, we got a couple of comments and super chats on this one here. This first one is from Bo Booth, who says, please, not another Lesnar-Cody match. Here's the thing with this, and I'm going to be real with everybody. I've thought they were, first two matches with Cody and Lesnar were decent, but I didn't think they came anywhere close to what we had with Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes. Like, to me, I didn't necessarily feel that Brock Lesnar and Cody Rhodes found the magic yet between the both of them.
Yeah, it kind of feels like the Roman stuff and the Cody stuff has been like in the middle of like side quests until they get back together at some point. And I mean, that's fine, but it's just clear as day that they're kind of trying to stall with Cody until he gets back to the Roman match.
Yeah, I agree. We got Marquise Films, who sends in a chat, super chat, saying, round three, dog collar match. Make it happen, Trips. While you're at it, I need Ronda versus Shayna in a fight pit. Also, there's not enough credit and appreciation given to the incredible Money in the Bank commentary team. Round three, for any stipulation that you want to see in, specifically between Cody and Lesnar? Is the dog collar match the way to go? Or like something else?
I feel like that would be all up Cody's alley. Cody is just dying to bleed on television again. You just know it. That would be right up his alley to do a dog collar match. But I don't think that WWE would do the dog collar match the justice that it deserves. It would be so sanitized. It probably would be fine, but I don't think it would be anywhere near some of the other dog collar matches we've seen over the last year or two.
You need the blood. You need the blood for the dog collar matches. I'm sorry. Like, I don't want to see a prim and proper dog collar match. I want to see, like, violence and brutality. That is exactly what I want from that. So we went to commercial break. We come back, and Seth Rollins is still out there in the ring. And I'm going, oh, boy, Where are we going with this? What else is left here? What's going to happen? And the Judgment Day comes out, and Seth is basically pointing out that Finn Balor is not there, and the Judgment Day is like, that doesn't concern you. Don't worry about this. Damian Priest tells him the only thing you need to worry about is the money in the bank and the fact that I have the briefcase. And this all then leads to, because Seth Rollins is like, okay, fine, like, let's do this. You know, I'm fresh as a daisy. You're not going to do anything. And this then leads to Dominic Mysterio versus Seth Rollins. Now, I'm curious as to what your instant reaction to this was when this was the realization of the match that we were going to get. Because I'm going to be honest with you, Phil, and everybody here. When they announced Dominic versus Seth Rollins, I'm thinking, okay, the last time we were here, I was just sitting here talking about Cody Rhodes and Dominic Mysterio, and that was not a good match. I said on the post show that it felt like a Raw match. It didn't feel like a premium live event match. It felt like a Raw match. And then on top of that, it wasn't a good match at all, and he lost. There was nothing in that match that made me go, okay, this justifies them doing Dominic Mysterio versus Seth Rollins. To me, there was nothing that justified doing Dominic Mysterio versus Seth Rollins at this point.
You mean Dirty Dom?
Dirty Dom. When did they start that? When did they start this? Because I missed it. All of a sudden, I just see the graphic and it says Dirty Dom. And I'm like, wait, when did this become a thing?
It feels like the entire company got this memo today. Say Dirty Dom on TV as much as possible. Because, I mean, it was just like, especially in the segment backstage where he was like, yeah, he's going to regret getting in the ring with Dirty Dom. And Thea Rhea was like, that's right, Dirty Dom. I'm like, stop. Cut it out. It's not working. Stop it.
So why are they calling him Dirty? I was going to say Dirty Dom. Dirty Dom. Because usually if you're going to put dirty in front of someone's name, it's because what? Like they're cheating. They're doing things the wrong way to get the win. Or you're calling them dirty for because they're, I don't know. What's the purpose of this?
What's the specific
reasoning behind calling him Dirty Dom? Like, what am I missing here?
I don't know, but this felt very company edict stuff, and it was not good. It sucked. But yeah, no, there was no reason for him to get this match. I thought it was very strange to go from him having this match with Cody, which, like you said, he lost this match, and then he comes the next day, and he's like, all right, well, I'm going to just wrestle the champion of this brand in the main event just because I want the match. But so, why?
So Call Me Crazy says that they've been calling him Dirty Dom for a few months now.
I've never noticed. Maybe it was just over. It was just overboard tonight. They were unloading the clip on Dirty Dom tonight, buddy.
Because, like, we know the condom is one. Okay, fine. That one was pretty funny. Nice play on words. Prison Dom was another one. And that one I thought was pretty cool. But obviously now it's worn off. And Dom Dom, which is the pet name that Rhea gives him. I kind of hate that one, the Dom Dom one. It feels too cheesy, too cool. Which I guess that's the point, right?
The only time it was funny was when they used it in a segment with Woods, and Woods called him Dumb Dumb.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. So aside from that, though, we get into the actual match. Let's just get right to it. Let's talk about the main event of Monday Night Raw today. We had Seth Rollins versus Dominic Mysterio in the main event. And throughout this match, man, the crowd was definitely making sure to deliver their part to do the huge Dom sucks chants. We were getting all of that. But we need to talk about everything that occurred afterwards, because afterwards, we end up seeing them beat down Seth Rollins. So Seth Rollins is being outnumbered by the Judgment Day. He's being beat up. And Dominic Mysterio basically convinces Damian Priest to try and cash in the Money in the Bank briefcase. And I'm sitting there going, no, they're definitely not going to do this right now. Like, there's no way they're going to do this right now. And right when you kind of thought, maybe they actually will do it right now, Finn Balor comes out, and he was supposed to apparently not be there, or that was the whole thing, that he wasn't there, that they addressed that at the opening segment. And then afterwards, he comes out, he attacks Seth Rollins. Everybody's attacking Seth Rollins, but then we get to see even further dissension between Damian Priest and Finn Balor, because Finn Damian Priest starts yelling at him, Finn's telling him that he's the reason that he lost that Money in the Bank. And finally, before Seth Rollins leaves, he's Pedigree's Dirty Dom. And that's what we end up seeing with the end of Raw. How did you feel about Seth Rollins versus Dominic? And then how did you feel about the events that unfolded afterwards?
I thought the match was fine. I mean, Seth is Seth. Seth's going to go out there and give you the most entertaining match that he can give you. Seth, to this day, has still wrestled the best match with Dom. Their SummerSlam match is still his best match to this today. And so the match was fine. I thought it was funny when Seth tried to come out and do his Three Amigos, and I was just like, your Three Amigos is kind of bad as well, but all right, cool. But other than that, Russell circles around this kid and pretty much just like loses because of shenanigans, which made the entire match feel kind of pointless. But the entire point of this match was to make the Money in the Bank stuff kind of the main event segment. And that was fine. I thought it was cool to keep Balor off of TV for the entire night. And maybe it was just me, but when Judgment Day came out with Rhea with the belt and Damian Priest with the briefcase, I was like, no, I get it. I get why he won the briefcase, because Judgment Day is the hottest faction on Raw. They're constantly on Raw the entire night. They're the ones that are running roughshod for the entire night. So it makes sense for one of them to have the briefcase. So all of that stuff was fine. I thought the stuff they did with Finn was good. I'm a little concerned about how long you're going to go with this dissension angle. I don't think you can keep this going long term. I think it's a cool thing for now, but if we're months from now, we're still like doing the slow burn of the split. I'm not with that at all.
Are you at all disappointed at what this may be leading to, which is the breakup, the downfall of the Judgment Day? Like, were you hoping that they kind of kept it going longer, or do you feel it's reached the end of its course?
I kind of think this is all kind of a red herring. I don't think they're going to split. I hope they're not. I think at first you could see them trying to angle at a babyface turn for Priest, but it doesn't seem like they're doing that now. Maybe they're going to do it down the road. But I do think it's too soon to split them up. I wouldn't split them up too soon.
Yeah, it kind of feels like because they've been so popular, especially with Rhea, with the amount of heat that Dominic Mysterio is getting, like I want to see them kind of stick around and continue to do more. But I do sense the exact same thing. I do sense seeing like a babyface turn for Damian Priest. But at the same time, I'm like, damn, I would like to see it because I do want to see Damian Priest and Finn Balor eventually in some sort of program together. But then I'm like, damn, I don't want to see this be the end of the Judgment Day just yet, which I didn't think I was going to get to that point because I kind of like wasn't too crazy about the Judgment Day. It took me really a long time to kind of get behind the Judgment Day. And I think now that I guess we're just so used to it that I feel like I don't want it to necessarily end just yet. But maybe I think I just kind of like the idea of you know, Rhea and Dominic Mysterio, even though it can be cheesy and corny and a little bit silly. I still like the idea of what they're doing there with them because it's worked for Dom. It's gotten him that heat and it's worked for Rhea. So I feel like for the most part, like even though it probably didn't start off as something you were like crazy about, it ended up kind of working out.
Yeah. What did you think of them milking the hell out of the Abbey Road cover homage that they did? I did think it was funny. I did think it was funny that out of all the guys in the group, the most perfect thing they had was Finn as Paul and him being barefoot. And I was just like, yeah, of course, he would be the one that's Paul teasing that he's going to be the one to go off on his own.
See, I didn't know that. Okay, so I'm glad that you pointed that out because that was the first thing I noticed, but I guess I'm not like too big on like the Beatles or anything. Like I don't know. I came too late. Way too late, you know? But the point that I like that you mentioned that though. Oh, that's good. That's an Easter egg right there. But we got a couple of Humper Chats here from people talking about this. And this first one is from Call Me Crazy, who says, it's a bit sad that Dominic didn't win Saturday. Imagine the gloating at Seth today if he did. But man, is he still going places in his career this year? He really has impressed the right people in the back. Really want a singles title for him in the future. IC title, maybe. Okay, Call Me Crazy. Wait, you're sad that Dominic Mysterio didn't win on Saturday? What? I thought I read that wrong.
Did not want to see that. Dude, oh my God. No. That would have been awful.
That would have been awful. I'm sorry. Call me crazy. Bizarro Big Al says, can someone tell Finn to change his finisher's name so I don't have to hear Corey call it coup de grace? coup de grace literally means a killing blow.
Coup de grace.
Undermines a move like that when people will kick out all the time. Oh, God. I guess part of me like doesn't even notice when Corey Graves does it, because truthfully, it wasn't until Bizarro Big Al mentioned it right now that I've even noticed. This is something that you noticed because I did it.
I tune out a lot of Corey Graves on commentary, honestly. But I do think that the feud with Rollins has put over how dangerous the coup de grace is. It's one of those finishers that people rarely kick out of. And I think that him taking so many of these coup de grace that now he's still bandaged up after all this time, I think if anything, has made that finisher look even better.
Juan Ortiz sends in a humper chat saying, just stopping by to say happy birthday, Phil, and have a good night. Denise 4.9 on WikiFeed Salcedo. Also, do you think that Finn and Seth would have a stipulation for SummerSlam? I kind of hope they will. Honestly, I wouldn't mind it if they did that, because you know, obviously we just had a straightforward match with them and it was fine. Like, I didn't think that Finn Balor and Seth Rollins was necessarily like the hottest match of the night, but it wasn't bad by any means at all.
I think that they can have a better match. We've seen them have better matches. That match didn't feel like it ever really got into its final gear. And I think it's kind of because it didn't get enough time. I feel like that and the Gunther match didn't get enough time. And so hopefully...
Oh, but I love the Gunther match for what it was, though.
I enjoyed it, but I do think that, you know, for the Gunther matches we got on TV, you usually see them get a little bit more time. So I would kind of like to see that match again at SummerSlam, but they've got to give them a little bit more time. I still don't think Seth has had that major pay-per-view match since he's champion. Like, even AJ match, it was good, but I still don't think he's had that big match as champion yet.
Okay, I get what you mean. Yeah, I see what you mean, because when I think about, like, I think I actually enjoyed the match that Seth and Finn Balor had on Raw more than the actual pay-per-view match that we saw. So yeah, I don't blame you, especially because I do think we've seen better bouts with Seth, not as champion yet, but I think part of that is, again, because he just hasn't had that, like, that match yet. So we'll see. Hopefully it happens soon. But sticking with the Judgment Day for now, we got Shinsuke Nakamura versus Damian Priest earlier in the night. We saw Damian Priest win with the South of Heaven chokeslam. How'd you feel about this match?
I thought it was good. I think we needed a match with him on TV to kind of remind people, like, you know, Damian Priest has been a guy that they've been building for a while. They've been trying to make this guy look strong for a minute and kind of remind people, like, no, this has definitely not been like a spur of the moment thing to make him Mr. Money in the Bank, Senior Money in the Bank.
Senior Money in the Bank, exactly. One thing I do want to bring up is Shinsuke Nakamura for a second, because when Shinsuke Nakamura came back to WWE, there was a lot of people that thought that they were going to see Shinsuke's booking be a lot more different. And I remember thinking, like, nah, we're going to see the exact same thing. And they haven't necessarily rocked our worlds yet since the return of Nakamura. Do you have high expectations, or do you kind of just expect him to be in this exact same spot that we've been seeing throughout the last couple of years? And even right now, just going in there and taking L's.
I do think he's going to get a world championship match eventually. I would actually bet he's going to get a world championship match this year, because again, Raw is the place you go.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
For title matches, I like that he brought certain things from his Muda match over, like the robe. I enjoy it. I have very much been saying for the longest, get this guy away from the rocker stuff, get him away from McAfee jumping on the table and doing the corny, oh, his entrance is so cool. I think just doing the entrance the way it is and giving the crowd a chance to sing it is why that entrance was cool. You don't have to change it. It worked. And I think that bit of his presentation has just been so much better since he's been back. He feels like a star again with that. I mean, getting Lil Uzi Vert doing his music just shows again, like, that entrance is cool without any of that stuff. You don't need it.
So you don't miss Rick Boogs at all?
No. Oh, my God. Keep Shinsuke away from Boogs. I feel like it made his entrance so lame to me. Like, no, please, no.
Alrighty, we got a super chat here from Mike Parker who says Judgment Day can survive and live on without Finn or Damian. Either can be replaced. The core of the act is Rhea and Dominic Mysterio. Do you agree with that? Rhea and Dom is the core of the act of the Judgment Day.
I don't. I think that they work as a whole. Like, I think that the four of them work together. Like, I don't, like, I know people are into the Rhea and Dom stuff, but I don't think that's the core of the act. I don't think it works without the big guy as a heater and the guy that's the leader, because neither of those guys feel like the lead of that group.
All righty. And before we continue on to our next segment, though, I do want to go ahead and give some love over at Drinking at Mo's, who sent in a very generous super chat. But he also says that the last year has been rough. He lost his twin girls, bad car wreck, and lost two of his dogs. He says, thank you, Fightful and Pro Wrestling, for giving me a break from it all. Drinking at Mo's, I'm so sorry that, my God, I don't even know what to say, because that's just a terrible thing. And I know that there's really nothing that can, you know, make anyone feel better when you go through something like that. But if at least, you know, pro wrestling and, you know, even Fightful and the post shows can help with some of that, thank you so much.
Yeah, sorry for your loss, man.
Yeah, seriously. Okay, and we're going to go ahead and switch gears into something that was actually pretty surprising on Monday Night Raw. When Sean was here, he was talking about how this was, you know, one of the things that he mentioned was this here. But let's talk about... this one here had me a little bit surprised, okay? So, we mentioned that at Money in the Bank, we had Shayna turn her back on Ronda Rousey, and it did come out of nowhere. I know we were all eventually expecting this turn from Shayna or from Ronda or whoever, right? We were expecting the breakup at some point, but not given that just about a week, 2 weeks ago, or however long ago, they had just won the Unified Tag Team Championships after defeating Alba and Isla Dawn. So... we get this match. Shayna turns on Ronda. Liv and Raquel take the titles. They're champions once again. And we have what followed here tonight. So Ronda Rousey, she goes out there and she can barely get a word in. And she is interrupted by Shayna. And Shayna does not hold back whatsoever. She goes to town, man. She had some brutal burials to Ronda. The first thing that she said was, I'm pretty confident that I speak for everyone when I say we're sick of hearing you speak on the microphone. That is one of the biggest criticisms that Ronda Rousey has had, is her promo work. People do not like it. And then she goes on to tell her that, you know, Ronda tells her, like, oh, you owe me an explanation for what you did. And Shayna says, the only thing I owe people is an apology for bringing you into this business, because you are a narcissist. And she starts saying, I paid my dues to get into this business. I did all of these things. She runs them down. And then she says, all you did was just walk in and you went straight to WrestleMania. This then leads to an attack from Shayna Baszler to Ronda Rousey. And this was brutal, man. What'd you make of this promo? And also, I should note that Shayna was the babyface in this whole thing. She was getting cheered by the crowd, even though she was the one who turned on Ronda Rousey.
I very much hope that this was not meant to get us to cheer for Ronda Rousey, because if it was, it failed miserably, because it got us all to get behind Shayna Baszler. And I've been a big Shayna fan since NXT. I felt everything that she was saying. I mean, we were supposed to, because she had all the best material. I've seen people also say that her turn didn't make sense. No, the seeds have been there for this turn for a while. I just didn't think they were going to do it this soon. I thought it was a bit too soon to split them, because that was their first pay-per-view defense, and they didn't even get past their first pay-per-view defense as champions before they split them up. That report came out that Ronda's probably leaving again soon, and that's probably why they sped it up. But no, I thought this promo itself was great. I thought everything she said was on the money. Shayna's somebody that's wrestled at Shimmer and Shine and Rise. She's been overseas and wrestled for Stardom. She's done it. She's paid her dues. She was one of the longest reigning NXT champions. Yeah, she's paid her dues. So I can see her looking around like, why do I have to team with you? You are not on my level. And in my opinion, she's better at her than everything. She's a better worker than her. She's a better talker than her. She is better than Ronda in every way. And so I've been looking around for the longest when people have been calling her low rent Ronda Rousey. And if you go back and look at those segments, you can always look at her face when that's said, and you can see her getting offended. So the scenes have been there for the longest. They just, I don't know why they executed it so soon, but I love this. I love the way she wiped her out with that knee at the end. This reminded people how cool Shayna is. And I think we had forgot that, because they had her in these joke segments for the longest. They weren't using her well. I hope that this is a good way to remind people not just how great Shayna is, but maybe we can get some of the magic of Ronda's rookie year back, because, man, it's been rough. It's been rough.
I know. And I think that's part of the reason why I would think that WWE would know that Shayna was going to be seen as the babyface in all of this. Like, I really hope that they did not plan this all out for them to think that Ronda was going to get cheered, because that's definitely not what we're seeing here at all. And here's the thing. So, you know, it was reported that Ronda is looking like she's going to have a hard out date from WWE. So that's part of the reason why they rushed it. Dave said that apparently, you know, there was supposed to be more of them doing more of a story, right? More of planting of the seeds, and they didn't have the time to necessarily do that. And so that's why they had the turn happen so fast at Money in the Bank. So I get all of that. And in a way, I'm kind of seeing this as a good thing. And I'm going to tell you why. Because in Ronda exiting from this, in which how much heat Ronda has on her, where people are just not interested, man. Like, you see what people say about Ronda on social media and all of this. And I think that in a way, all of this is going to work, because it's going to get Shayna Baszler back to getting over with the people, back to giving her a purpose, something that people are going to care about. Like, all of the comments that I was seeing today on social, on Twitter, over this promo, everybody was like, we love Shayna. We love Shayna. This was great. Shayna spinning facts, this and that. Like, Shayna is getting over more so now. So in a way, all of this like negativity and all this bad stuff surrounding Ronda Rousey, in the end, is going to end up helping out her, you know, one of her closest friends, Shayna Baszler. So I'm seeing this as a good thing. I love seeing, I kind of felt like Shayna was showing a little bit more personality here, where when she was delivering these lines, she didn't feel like robotic or anything. Like, she was saying it with like a passion, where I know that in multiple interviews, Shayna and Ronda, both of them said that they have been fighting and fighting to win the tag titles, to feud against each other, to have all of these moments with each other on WWE TV. And so you can tell, based on some of the stuff that was said, the way that Shayna delivered it, that this is something that they really have been waiting for a while. Now that you got it, and that this is clearly, this is looking like the last thing Ronda's going to do for a bit, it seems like they're trying to make it worth it. So I'm really looking forward to it here, and I'm hoping to see this change the trajectory of Shayna on the roster, because we need somebody like Shayna on the women's division. Yeah. It's no BS with her, Phil. She looks, you look at Shayna and you know for a fact, like, man, she can kick my ass. She can kick anybody's ass. Like, she can kick whoever's ass she wants, right? And it's not, you don't have to suspend your disbelief with that.
Yeah, they've got to give her old music back. Her current theme is awful. They've got to get rid of this current music. That's the only thing I didn't like about all of the segment, but I thought this was a great segment. If you had any trepidations about the turn at Money in the Bank, I thought that this should have gotten you interested in this feud. This feels like a SummerSlam feud at this point. If this is like a secondary feud for the women, you kind of have like three feuds going with the women from Raw now. Well, you don't have a title feud, but you still got the Becky and Trish stuff. That could be a SummerSlam match. You got this, that could be a SummerSlam match. I think that's a great thing.
Good. I'm glad. Yeah, exactly. All right. So let's get some more comments in here. We got some super chats and humper chats to read. This one's from Mike Parker, who says, I'm not the only one who wants Rhonda to go away. This doesn't prove it. I don't know what will. Rhonda is just not likable. And this is from Mike Parker. Brennan Norris says, Rhonda Shayna might be fun, but who is the heel? It's clearly Rhonda. And it's no matter right. how they try to do this, if they try to make Rhonda the babyface, it is going to backfire because the crowd is not having it. Dream Ninja says, Shayna cooked with pure truth. There you go, proving the point. Everybody's saying that Shayna cooked.
Yeah, I would like to hope that Rhonda went into this and was like, I want to do this final act of helping you get where you should where you're supposed to go. And I'm sure Triple H was in agreement because Shayna is a big Triple H project. So I could see him being down for this. And the way she was introduced to the main roster was always goofy with the bite thing. So maybe this is their way of righting the ship. Hopefully so.
And I also want to give a shout out to Adrian Wells. Adrian Wells, thank you so much for this very generous super chat. Thank you so much for also being a Fightful YouTube member, sending you some love, man, and some good karma. Thank you so much for sending this over our direction. Okay, so let's go ahead and press on from here. And let's get into, continue on with the women's picture here, because we did get a women's tag team turmoil that ended up seeing Sonya Deville and Chelsea Green defeat The Way, Emma, Nikki, Kaden, Katana, and Dana and Tegan. This was, for the most part, I feel like we got to see Sonya and Chelsea really do well in this. Like, I feel like this is the most we've gotten out of them as a tag team, like in-ring wise, in a while, where I was a fan of this. They win. We're going to see a match between them and Liv and Raquel. Thoughts on this?
I thought this whole segment was funny because it was like a parade of women. Like, they came out and I was like, oh, she is still here. Oh, wait, she's here too. It was like when Tegan came out, I was like, oh, Tegan. Then Emma came out, I was like, oh, Emma's here. And then they were still trying to do the Nikki and Candace storyline that has been in the works for months. I was like, oh, this is still going. Oh, okay. But the only two teams that got their entrances, I was like, okay, we're supposed to focus on Kaden and Katana and Chelsea and Sonya. Those are the only teams that are going to have the showcase here because they were the teams that got the entrances. So I knew the other teams were just there to be fodder to lose. which
And
kinda,
that's kind of like because there's no other real teams in the women's tag team division.
Yeah, so I figured like when that happened, like, all right, this is going to be like quick and to the point. And all this stuff in between where it was just kind of just beating the other teams, like the enhancement teams, we'll call them that, in the midst of getting to the final matchup, that kind of stuff I wasn't into. I thought that stuff was kind of not good. But I did think all of the stuff with Katana and Sonya and Kaden was very good. I think Katana and Kaden are a good tag team, and they showed that here. I thought it was a perfect way to showcase them and also put Chelsea and Chelsea and Sonya to get them in a spot to win the match, because you needed a heel team to match up with the current champions. And I thought it worked. I thought this was a good way to make you dislike that team, but also eventually root for Katana and Kaden.
Exactly. And I do like what you said about Kaden and Katana, because they are a pretty good tag team together. They're fun. They're fun. Okay. So like for me though, here's the thing though. I kind of want to see Chelsea and Sonya. I'm more into Chelsea and Sonya as a tag team than I am Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. And I've been feeling this way though for a while though. Like they still haven't necessarily won me over as a tag team, Liv and Raquel. I don't know what it is. I like both of them separately, and I like them both fine together. They just don't feel like a real team to me.
No, every team that Raquel has been on has felt like a vehicle to make Raquel a champion because they don't have what they actually want to do with her yet. Like, it's very clear that they want to push Raquel, but they have somebody else that they're pushing now. So they keep going, oh, in the meantime, let's put her in this tag team and make her champion. And it just doesn't feel natural. It always feels contrived. It felt contrived when they did it with Aaliyah, and it still feels contrived here. It just doesn't work. And I mean, like them cheering on the outside during the tag team turmoil, it just underlined everything that I feels unnatural about this team.
I was going to say, the only person that felt natural was Dakota Kai because of their history. With right, Dakota right. and Raquel, I'm talking about. Yeah. All righty.
But I mean, every main roster team, it just hasn't worked.
I agree. All right. Let's see what else we got here. We got another Humper Chat here, and this one's from Bizarro Big Al, who says, what is up with the quality tonight? Clips shown every 15 minutes. Trish looks like AC Green. They buried the women's tag division with a clean sweep, but a comedy team who's been losing on the regular. Shinsuke deserves better stories, but at least we have Seth. I don't think I felt this strongly about, not liking today's show. And I have felt I have felt that way for a lot. I have disliked other episodes of Raw way more than today. I thought today was fine. It was fine. Like, there's been just like way worse, in my opinion. Like, I wouldn't even consider this one bad.
No, I don't think it was a bad episode. I could see people if they didn't enjoy it. It was a lot of stalling for time. Like, I thought the most glaring one was right before the main event. Like, they had Dom and Rhea do the entrance, and then we had to sit through all of the recap stuff in between that, and then we had to go back and do the backstage stuff, and then it got to the main event. It was so much stalling for time in between there, and it was clear.
Yeah, you know what? When I go back and I think about it, we did get a lot of videos today. We actually did, because they ran through the entire Bloodline story. They did a bunch of Money in the Bank recap. So we did get a whole lot of that. So yeah, I guess you're right on that. But speaking of video packages, Bronson Reed gets a video package. He's out there looking suave. He's got a nice suit. He's got some nice glasses. And he's talking about how, yeah, he's a nice guy, but sooner or later, people are going to sit down for the banquet of consequences, he says. And he says that Bronson Reed is inescapable. All I gotta say about this is, yes, we're finally hearing Bronson Reed talk. This was one of the things that I had mentioned a couple weeks ago on the Raw Post show, was, man, I like what we're doing with Bronson in terms of having him go out there and beat people up. Cool. But I want to connect with Bronson Reed more on a character level.
Yeah. I feel like Bronson, one of those guys that if they wanted to slot him in at some point, he can be IC champion at some point. And I think it would be a good reign for him.
Damn right, Phil. All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and press on. But before we do, we still got a couple more things to talk about in regards to Monday Night Raw. But just a heads up, if you guys want to help support this podcast, get your questions, your comments, your statements read here on the stream, you are more than welcome to send in a super chat or a humper chat. We very, very greatly appreciate those. Now, let's go ahead and get into a feud, Phil, that I really wasn't feeling in the beginning. But damn, am I feeling it like the last couple of weeks. And this is Becky Lynch and Trish Stratus. So there was a whole lot that went down here. So as we know, Becky Lynch nor Trish won the Money in the Bank. Becky's out there talking about how she can't get rid of Trish Stratus and she wants to end it tonight. Trish Stratus comes out and she's got the mask on her face. And, you know, she's talking about Becky essentially breaking her face. And Trish has a really, really good promo, in my opinion. She says that even with the mask on her face, that she's still prettier than everybody there. And then afterwards, she says, I'm not medically cleared because you broke my face, so I technically cannot do this match. And then Becky fires up. I loved Becky's promo. She says that Zoe Stark is a lapdog, that why doesn't she send her to go in and face Becky Lynch? And she makes fun of Trish Stratus's magazine. She makes fun of her talent show. And she tells her, what are you going to do with Zoe Stark next? Are you going to have her be an assistant, a secretary at your yoga studio? And she then says that Trish responds to that by telling Becky that Zoe is going to break her face, and they make it seem like they're going to go out and actually fight Becky Lynch, but instead they go to the back. They got an appointment. Well, Trish has a medical appointment to go to. How'd you feel about all of this?
I was not a fan of this segment, man. I thought the Becky stuff was good. I wasn't a fan.
Phil, why?
I wasn't a fan. I was not a fan of this segment. I thought a lot of Trish's promo felt stilted. And I mean, I enjoyed stuff like her bringing back the face mask, of course. Like, if you follow from like the Attitude Era and all that stuff, of course, that was a big thing during her heel run there. I like the nods to her heel run stuff, but man, this did not work for me. And I'm not down on this feud. I just think that it's very clear they've been trying to hold on and wait until SummerSlam. This is another one that it feels like we got the match in place. Let's stall until we get to the big pay-per-view. And it couldn't be any clearer that that's what they're doing. And it's just, some of it's just not working for me, man.
So what is not working for you? Is it the promo? Is it the story? Do they not have chemistry, in your opinion?
I don't know, man. I think some of the stuff in the Trish promo, like the Baltimore stuff, I was like,
I thought that was funny.
It was instead not of Baltimore,
Baltiless.
It was not funny. I would just sit there like, nah, this is
it's like
this
ain't stupid funny though, Phil. It's stupid funny.
I guess, but nah, this didn't do it for me, man. And again, I enjoy everybody in this. I thought Becky tried her best to make this segment work. Her promo stuff was good, but the segment wasn't for me, man.
We got our chat is a little bit conflicted here. Like, we got people saying, like, yeah, it was corny, it was cringe, but there are other people that actually think it was funny, that they laughed and thought it was fine. Here's the thing. Like, I remember when Trish started doing these promos when she started feuding with Becky. And I remember the first two that she did where she had to go out there and stand in the middle of the ring, and they had the crowd with the they piped in the fake crowd boost. Yeah. Oh my god, I thought those promos were awful. I thought, oh my god, they're shoving this down my throat. I hate it. And then after their first match that they had together, that's when I actually started getting into this feud. And so ever since their first match and everything that they've done afterwards, I've been really digging. Like, even their portion in the Money in the Bank ladder match, when we started seeing Trish and her go at it anytime that they could, I loved that. I loved it. I loved the way that Trish has been selling, the way that she's been bumping like crazy. Anytime she gets thrown, she really gets thrown. I mean, I really love what they're doing here, and I love what this is doing for both Trish, Zoe, and Becky. It's nuts. And here's kind of like going off on a little bit on tangent, but so earlier today, Phil, I don't know if you saw this, but WWE posted this thing about, you know, talking about your first WWE live event, right? Mm-hmm. And I looked mine up, and mine was December, I think, 10th, 2001, right? And so I went on, you know, just Google to see what was on that card. And Trish Stratus was on that card. And When you think about it, and you think about how many years it's been, you know, two decades, and Trish Stratus is here back on our televisions right now and just, you know, looking freaking great, man. And so I was thinking about that today, and it kind of just hit a little bit differently. But I just personally feel like the story has got it a lot better. And I wasn't a fan of it in the beginning. I really thought they were shoving it down our throats in the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, look, all hats off to Trish. I think Trish has been doing great since she's been back. I think a lot of us expected her to do the appearances here and there and still basically be a part-timer, but she's been working. She's been there every week. She's been helping her best to keep Zoe on TV and make Zoe relevant as a call-up. I thought she was great in the Money in the Bank match. I thought this was one of the better women's Money in the Bank matches we've ever gotten. And she was a big part of why it was good. And so this isn't me being down on Trish or what she's doing. This segment just wasn't it for me. But I enjoy Trish and Becky together. And I do think they're eventually going to have a good match when they have the blow-off match.
Yeah, okay, I see what you mean. All right, well, it's working for me. I like it. I'm digging it. I finally got on board. Mike Parker sends in a super chat, and Mike Parker says, I'm really enjoying the Trish Stratus run. I forgot how good she can be as a heel. Says a lot about Trish's talent that she can still get the crowd to boo her at this point. And real boos, none of this fake piped in crowd boos. We don't want that. I would rather have there be no reaction at all than for them to pipe in crowd sounds.
Yeah. What did happen to Lita? I just saw that in our chat. Lita never showed up again after she got attacked backstage.
Never. And I feel bad because, like, I really love Lita, and I've always been a bigger Lita fan than a Trish fan. Like, always. Like, Lita was my hero growing up, man. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this recent, you know, stint, Trish Stratus has come, you know, just looked a lot stronger in this. And I feel like they kind of just, you know, got rid of Lita. Like, she was there being champion with Becky Lynch, tag team champions. And then the second they lost the titles, it was like, that's it. And I kind of felt like they could have used her maybe a little bit in this here, considering that, you know, Trish has somebody. She's got Zoe. Becky's got nobody. I don't know. She could have probably came in for like one tiny little thing or something, but who knows? All right. So let's go ahead and continue on from here, and let's get into six-person mixed tag team action. We ended up seeing the Alpha Academy and Maxine take on the Viking Raiders and Valhalla. And this ended up being so much fun, man. It is working right now what they are doing with Maxine and the Alpha Academy. They're doing this whole thing where they're training her to be a better pro wrestler. And she went in there during this match and she got a really nice reaction when she got her tag in to go up against Valhalla. And there was a moment where I don't even know what she was doing. She was doing like this jiggle that kind of looked like she was trying to do the truffle shuffle from the Goonies. She was so funny. And then afterwards, she ends up doing the worm, whatever. And she does that. And she ends up getting the win for her team in, I don't know how else to say this, but this was the cutest thing that I have seen in a very long time on Monday Night Raw.
God bless Chad Gable. This man will always find a way to get something over. Incredible wrestler, very underrated wrestler, but he'll always find a way to make something entertaining on our television. And I feel like this was prime example of it. He was great in this match. Otis is another guy that I don't care how silly the thing they add to Otis is, he'll figure out a way to make it work and make it funny. Those two are just great together. They're one of the teams that I feel like has suffered the most from them not being championships on that roster because they're just so great. And adding Maxine has been surprisingly great because those two guys managed to make things work. And she's been tremendous with them. Her doing like that, like seizure or whatever it was into the corner.
I love how I'm like, oh, it was a jiggle. And you're like, it was a seizure.
I don't know what it was.
I don't know what it was either. I was looking at her and I'm like, wait, what is she doing? It was great though.
Of course, you know, I don't want to make fun of people that actually have like seizures and stuff, but just her her having like this, I don't know what it was.
It's like when you lay down in the grass too much and then you get up and you're like, I don't know. But it was so cute. I loved it. And here's the thing, and this is why I think what they're doing here is right. Okay, because how do I say this? They made her very lovable, okay? She's out there, yes, you know, being dorky and cute with Chad Gable and Otis, right? They're not, you know, Chad Gable and Otis are not, you know, how do I say this? They're not your Greek statuesque type of men, you know? They're not out there looking like the typical guy that would probably be able to get a girl like Maxine, right? So the fact that Maxine is out there hanging out with Chad Gable and Otis, it makes her more lovable. And I think that the audience loves to see that. And obviously, you know, Chad Gable and Otis on the character side are phenomenal, right? But the pairing of having this hot chick with guys that you would probably wouldn't think had the time of day would give the time of day to, I think that makes it just much more enjoyable. That's why you liked the whole thing with Otis and Mandy Rose, right? Because again, you're like, oh shit, like Mandy Rose and Otis, well, that's unexpected. So I think that's part of what's working here with Maxine and Alpha Academy. I didn't like Maxine and Maximum Male Models. I thought that she is like, this is so polar opposite. So when we had Maxine and Male Models, she was easily forgettable. I'm sorry. Like she was just there, you know, she was just hot chick,
It was a terrible gimmick that everybody kind of suffered from. The second they got LA Knight out of it, LA Knight got over it. And the second they got her away from it, she started getting over it because it was not a good act. And I feel like the only thing that was saving the Maximum Male Models was when they were moving Otis over, because Otis is Otis. Otis can make anything funny. And so I feel like they looked around at this like, if Otis is the only thing here that's making this funny, why are we even doing it? Let's just have her over here with them. And it's the best idea for all three of them. I think she's benefited a lot from it. Again, Otis is just Otis. Otis will find a way to make anything funny because he's just great. It almost feels like this is like if they actually continue with Heavy Machinery and added Mandy and they actually gave it room to let it work. It feels like that's what this is, and it's working.
She's going to get over, like, more, like, way more. Yeah. I think that if they keep this doing, they keep this going, she's really going to get over, honestly. Like, she's going to be one of the fan favorites for sure. Dante NYC sends in a super chat saying, did you catch Maxine doing the code row like a code red, but like a row? I don't think I did.
I didn't.
Yeah, thank you, Dante NYC, for sending this in, though. But that's what I mean. Look, it's funny, like her going out there and doing this stuff. I need more of the jiggle stuff, though. More of the jiggle stuff. That works for me. That was funny as hell. Very anyway, funny. So thumbs up on this. All right, let's press on. And I don't know if this was unexpected. I guess maybe I thought this was like a one and done type of deal. Ricochet ends up cutting a promo challenging Logan Paul, and they also played a clip of them going at it afterwards backstage. I didn't see that on social media. I don't know if this was like the first time they put it out there. I might have missed it. I don't know. But we're going to get a face-off between Ricochet and Logan Paul next week.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the right way to go with the Money in the Bank stuff. I think they did a great job of making you hate Logan Paul getting into the Money in the Bank match. And listening to that crowd at Money in the Bank, they hated this guy, did not want to see him win. And so I think it's a good idea to keep that stuff going. And him and Ricochet are going to have a match where they do all the flippy cool stuff. So I'm here for it.
And hopefully it all goes well. The flippy stuff. We want it to definitely go well.
Ricochet actually cut a good promo tonight. Where are we?
It was all right. It wasn't great. But it was all right. It was all right. I know the bar's still a little lower for Ricochet. It was all right.
It was solid.
I don't even know. I would say solid, Phil.
Oh no.
It was okay. No. Yeah. All right. I don't know what I'm doing anymore. All right. We need to get into a match that I would say a lot of us didn't know was going to be as good as it turned out to be, but it ended up being and a lot better and delivered a whole lot. But before we get to what that was, we got a message here from our sponsors.
AthleticGreens.com/Fightful. Man, this is my go-to supplement, my go-to multivitamin, but it's so much more than a multivitamin. By the way, you want to be drinking your multivitamin. It absorbs a lot better. I take one scoop of AG1 from athleticgreens.com/Fightful, put it in my 8 ounces of water, drink it down, and I'm good to go. I got a multivitamin that covers so much. Minerals, probiotics, that's why you never see me getting sick. You got your adaptogens, antioxidants, you've got a digestive enzyme. They all work together for a stronger foundation for your health. Free one-year supply of vitamin D3 and K2, plus 5 free travel packs when you use athleticgreens.com/Fightful. By the way, it also helps recovery. So if you've had a tough workout, this athleticgreens.com/Fightful AG1 product is really going to help you out. They've got doctors, they've got endurance athletes, people with PhDs, the professor of genetics at Harvard Medical School, David Sinclair, putting this thing over. AthleticGreens.com/Fightful. That immunity support, that digestive support, that multivitamin, all at AthleticGreens.com/Fightful.
So on Sunday or Saturday, God, I don't remember what day it was anymore, when Reg and I were here talking about this upcoming match that was made for Raw, which was Natalya versus Rhea Ripley for the Women's World Championship, I was like, dang, I ain't looking forward to this. We've already seen this multiple times. It didn't rock anyone's boat. But this one here was quite the opposite. This ended up being a phenomenal match between Rhea and Natalya. And part of the reason is they gave them time. They let them go out there and actually put together this match that was very exciting. You saw a very aggressive Natalya, a very aggressive Rhea Ripley, and they ended up having this really great match. So Natalya comes in and she attacks Rhea Ripley before this match even begins. There's a moment where Rhea does like this split-legged frog splash, but instead of landing it, Natalya gets her foot up, and during this actually ends up busting open Rhea Ripley. At least this is the part where I think she got busted open. Natty gets her into a sharpshooter, and this was a great visual because while she's locked in the sharpshooter, you're seeing all of the blood in Rhea Ripley's mouth. She eventually makes it to the ropes, and afterwards she hits Natty with a killer headbutt, hits that riptide, and gets the win. And even after the match, continues the attack, gets her with another headbutt, and it isn't until Liv and Raquel run out there to kind of, you know, put the stop to the beating of Natalya. But this ended up being pretty damn entertaining. One of my favorite highlights of one of the top moments for me of today's Raw. What'd you think?
I mean, it sounds like a kind of a low bar on a show where we didn't get that much wrestling, but it was basically the match of the night. It was the most entertaining match on this show. Natalya's always good for one of these matches where she'll remind people just how good she is and just how good she is at putting someone else over. And she looked great tonight. I thought this was the best Rhea's looked in a while, at least since the WrestleMania match, where I felt like her and Charlotte stole the show. And I've been kind of waiting for them to go like, all right, what's next for Rhea? What is her big feud? It seems like it's going to be Raquel at this point. But I'm kind of ready. I mean, we've seen her beat up Natalya for months now. I thought that this was a great way to cap this feud off and finish it up, hopefully, and move on to the big feud. I couldn't have capped it off in a better way. I thought this was a tremendous match.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too, that you mentioned is it looks like it's going to be Raquel, but I like that they're planting the seeds for a couple of things here because they've planted the seeds for her and Becky a couple weeks ago. And then also today we had a backstage confrontation where Io Sky confronted Rhea Ripley and Rhea basically told her, like, you do this and it'll be the biggest mistake of your life. And then she also addressed Liv Morgan and Raquel butting in on her business when she was attacking Natalya. So I like that they're finally starting to set people up for Rhea Ripley and all of these potential matchups. But this is exactly also this match today with Natalya is exactly what Rhea Ripley has been needing because people have been criticizing her reign, not necessarily because of her, but because they haven't given her much to work with. Everything has been Dominic, Dominic, Dominic. Okay, but Dominic's not out there making her reign a lot better. No. And then you also have Natalya, who we always mention, you know, Natalya is, you know, great. Obviously, we know that she's, you know, everybody likes Natalya, but people don't necessarily take her as seriously because of the way that she's been booked for several years now. And so that's basically hurt her. That sort of impacted that, whether or not people have interest. And so now, not only did this match, you know, kind of remind you of like, yeah, this is exactly why we like Rhea Ripley in ring, but it also reminded you of why you like and respect somebody like Natalya.
Yeah, I agree. This was I feel like for like almost a good hour here, this was a very women division heavy show. And I thought most of what they did to set up women's feuds did really well. Like I said, if we're doing Raquel versus Rhea at SummerSlam, I think that can be a very good match. And like I said, if that's where we're going to get the Becky and Trish match also could be a good match. And then we've also set up Shayna and Ronda as well. So I thought they did a lot in a span of an hour with the women's division.
We got a super chat here from Alex Wynn who says, I think they will obviously do the can they coexist Rhea and Becky versus Trish and Zoe at some point. They probably will. Do you see this happening?
I kind of feel like the reason they've kept Lita away for so long is eventually we're going to get Lita and Becky versus Trish and Zoe. At least I assumed. I don't know.
Okay. Alex Wynn, thank you so much for the super chat as well. All right, we're getting down to the final portions of our show. We got two more things to cover. And before we do, just a heads up, if you have any last minute thoughts or super chats that you want to get in or humper chats, feel free to send them in and we'll go ahead and get right to them. We do have one here from Annie B who sends in a super chat saying, if we do get to Reigns Rhodes 2 at Mania, I'm now expecting Roman to beat him clean this time. I think Reigns and Heyman will politic hard. I think at this point, I'm so tired of talking about Cody and Roman. Can I just be honest? I'm so over it.
I agree. I still don't feel like anything since April has really proven me wrong that Cody should have won. And I don't think waiting a year to do that match again is a good idea. I do think that when they do it, Cody is going to win. I mean, Cody is the most over babyface in the company. Like, there's no debating this at this point. We've seen it in Puerto Rico. We've seen it in Saudi. We've seen it here in America. We've seen it over there in London. Now, he's the hottest babyface in the company. You've got to put that belt on him at some point.
Exactly. All right. And a match that we're going to be seeing next week is going to be a no DQ match between The Miz and Tommaso Ciampa. We got promos from both guys. Anything that stood out to you from either Ciampa's promo or Miz's promo?
Not really. I mean, we're getting another match with these guys for reasons. Again, this feels like more stalling stuff until they get to the point where they want to be at. It's very clear that they're trying to get back to the DIY stuff, and this is their way of stalling till we get there.
All right, and the last thing we need to go over for today's episode of Raw is Matt Riddle defeating Giovanni Vinci. But what happened after this match was he was being attacked by Imperium, and Drew McIntyre came out, and Drew essentially made the save by taking out both Kaiser and Vinci. And it looks like we're going to be seeing Drew McIntyre and Matt Riddle kind of team up there for a bit. What'd you make of all of this?
I did not understand the purpose of this match, to just throw this, like, nothing match on just to have Drew come out and save the day afterwards. Felt very pointless. It was fine, I guess, to remind people Drew is in the mix with this Imperium stuff, but it didn't really do anything for me. I'm not very high on Drew as a babyface either. I understand really? Why. I don't like the countdown thing. I'm not into it. I don't know. But I understand why they brought him back as a babyface when they did, because there was no way you could bring him back as a heel in London. He was going to get a big pop in London. He got a great reaction. I thought that was a perfect time to bring him back. But I kind of wanted him to come back as a heel, and I kind of want him to lose to Gunther and turn heel. But I don't know. I think it'll be a good match at least.
I think, like, here's the thing. Like, I don't mind seeing, like, I'm so excited for Drew McIntyre and Gunther. Like, I'm so looking forward to that. But I definitely do not mind Drew McIntyre as a babyface. I actually kind of like him more as a babyface than I do a heel. I don't know why, but I just do. So I feel totally opposite on this one here. And I do like that they're kind of finally, you know, finding, I guess you can say, a way to, like, work this all in where you're going to get Matt Riddle and Drew McIntyre and then Imperium as well. So I do like what they're doing with this for right now. We got another Humper Chat here. This is from DarkCat18, who's actually been a member for 23 months. So shout out to DarkCat18, who says, decent show tonight. First time catching you guys live. iHeart emoji. Thank you so much to DarkCat18, and thank you so much for coming on and watching live. We appreciate you a whole lot. We appreciate everybody who's tuned in to today's show. All righty. That was it. That was Monday Night Raw, July 3rd. Before we go, I do want to wish everybody a happy 4th of July weekend tomorrow. Be safe, guys. Have a lot of fun. But before we go, Phil, let the people know where they can find you, support you, and all that good stuff.
You can find me on Twitter at PhilDL616. Of course, you can watch me on this YouTube channel every Saturday at noon Eastern with Righteous Reg hosting Grapsody. As Sean said earlier, we've got an interview dropping this week with Athena. I think you're going to really enjoy it. Athena was a blast to interview. And you can find my writing at Bleacher Report.
All righty. Phil, thank you so much for filling in. Phil, for filling in. I'm sorry, Phil. It hit me right now.
Shameful.
I'm not going to bounce back from this. Thank you, Phil, for filling in on today's show. We seriously appreciate you a whole lot. Thank you to everybody who watched. please do not. You should promote yourself as that, by the way. Phil, the perfect fill-in.
I'm not going to do that. I'm not doing it.
I'm sorry. I'm never bouncing back. All right, guys, subscribe to Fightful. If you haven't already, please do. We're making our way to 100K. Also, if you missed our show that Reg and I did for Money in the Bank, the post show, check that one out too. It was a whole lot of fun. And as for me, you guys know where to find me, youtube.com/Denise Salcedo, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok @_Denise Salcedo. Subscribe to Fightful Select, and we will see you guys all next time. Bye, everyone.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.